You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
So for God's sakes, we're getting invaded in the United States. And you know what? We knew this was going to happen when Joe Biden got elected to president of the United States. He didn't hide any of this from anybody. That was right in everybody's face. But I don't think people really understood the significance and the dangers of bringing Biden and Harris in as our president and vice president with respect to the catastrophic and cataclysmic state of immigration right now. Our borders that President Trump worked for 4 years to establish, to solidify our national borders, our national sovereignty, the wall, the policies, the working with Mexico, the working with Central America, that has literally been destroyed in the first 60 days of the Biden presidency.
It was actually done the very first day of the Biden presidency. And this was absolutely predictable. Everybody in government, in political life, understood exactly what was going to happen. And that's exactly what did happen. There was no other thing that could have happened. When you reopen the border and you just have a free-for-all, what you have is, for example, in the month of January, you have 7,000 children coming over unattended. In the month of February, you have over 17, almost 18,000, and it's going up from there. We don't have the March numbers yet, obviously.
And you know, let's just put this into perspective so that any American that listens to this show, our friends, our followers, our listeners, can understand and repeat this to other people. The narrative before with the Biden administration, you know, as he was, you know, running for president of the United States, and they were constantly criticizing President Trump about people being in cages and children being, you know, torn from their parents. And, you know, as they came across the border, let's really talk about the truth and reality about this. Number one, that didn't happen. What happens is that parents in Mexico and Central America are so desperate to get into the United States and to get their kids into the United States so they can receive amnesty and they can become, anchor babies, is that they gave their children up to strangers. They've given their children up. Nobody's been torn from anybody. Okay. You name a jail in the United States of America where you have an arrested, you know, defendant, criminal defendant, or a convicted criminal defendant in jail or prison that gets to have their family and their children with them while they're incarceration. There are none, not a single one. Not now. Number two, they gave their children up to cartels and coyotes to bring them across the border, to bring them up from Central America, to bring them up through Mexico, to suffer the horrible trials and tribulations of sexual and child exploitation and prostitution and pornography. And they just gave these kids up.
And not to mention illness, as over 10% of the population being tested, okay, the ones being tested are COVID positive, and then just getting released back into the population to pass it around to more people.
And they have absolutely no idea where these children are. And so now we've got thousands and thousands of unaccompanied minors in the United States, and this stupid, senseless, insensitive Biden administration has just allowed these people to come in, these children to come in, and they have no plans, Linda, zero plans to deal with the huge influx of these children.
They absolutely have zero plan. And what is happening is people need to look backwards run into the Obama-Biden administration and look at who built those cages in the first place. And the cages are, you know, they're not cages like animal cages, but they're cages that people could, you know, have separation from one another so that there weren't things happening, you know, as you would have happen in a room if you put lots and lots of people in. Well, what's happening now is those so-called cages that Trump took so much criticism for that wasn't even his doing are completely full. And now we are going to putting children in mass groups, mass, you know, 1,000 children in a place that places that don't have clean water, places that don't have beds for everybody. Talk about what the press did to President Trump over the situation at the border and the people coming in. And look at the difference now and the horrendous conditions.
These conditions are absolutely squalid. I would suggest that their conditions are almost as bad as the conditions that they left their countries from, right?
Oh, they're absolutely.
Third world.
And it could be even worse because there's, again, you're bringing these children into the state with the largest child trafficking issue in the country, which is Texas. And how many of these children will end up being trafficked? The cartel, as we speak, Ron, is making $14 million a month.
No, $14 million a day.
A day?
A day. $14 million a day trafficking tens of thousands of immigrants into the United States in various ways. And they even have wristbands. The investigators at Border Patrol have even found that they have wristbands where they are charged varying amounts of money depending on who you are, depending on what country you come from, depending on what socioeconomic status you have, depending on whether or not you have a college education or not, or marketable job skills.
And as much as I hate to admit it, you're absolutely right. It is $14 million a day.
You stay up on this.
I know. I misspoke on that. But I mean, that's that much worse, right? So, and the Biden administration, without a plan, is now having to scramble and look at putting children in the stadium in Dallas, and look at putting them in military facilities, and looking all over the place. But for the most part, people are just getting released. And by the way, now they're getting released without any court date being assigned to them because they say that there's such a rush at the border that they don't have time to do the paperwork.
Okay, so the forensic criminologist of the team here, Dr. Ron, let me explain to people what the significance of what Linda just talked about is. We are so inundated by tens of thousands of immigrants that have breached our border that we can't even provide court dates for them. And by the way, if people remember, and actually, Linda, I think a lot of people have forgotten that just waiting for a court date takes at least 2 years, at least 2 years. And that's with the people that we had before Biden came into office. So now with tens of thousands, and it's going to be hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of people coming across the border, we are now not giving them any court dates. So Linda, we're not doing the biometrics on these people. We're not doing the fingerprints. We're not doing the DNA. We are not identifying these people. We are quickly taking these people because we've got no place to stash them. And you can see the video, the news videos of a Border Patrol DHS placing these people by the thousands on buses and now on airplanes and sending them all over the United States of America, of which 10% have tested for positive for COVID. What the heck are we doing? We will never find these people again.
Oh, no, we'll never find them. But And it gets worse, and it goes on. So the Biden administration just gave $86 million to ICE to put 1,200 of these immigrant families in hotel rooms.
At the same time, we have tens of thousands of homeless people across the United States that live in squalid conditions, in creeks, under freeways, in cardboard houses, in pup tents, living on the street without any shelter whatsoever. And then we're taking people that aren't even American citizens that have committed a crime to get across the border, and we are putting them in hotels rather than American citizens. We have taken 10 million doses of COVID vaccine, and we have promised that to Mexico, 10 million doses of COVID vaccine, while people who are American citizens can't even get vaccinated.
Well, and so many people that we know are telling us that they're unable to get vaccinated. So this fiasco is costing the American taxpayer over $5 million a day easily. And I'm sure that that number is extremely conservative.
And it's going to just extrapolate this out, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to equate to, I mean, even the Biden administration says this, that it's going to equate to hundreds of billions of dollars spent in all forms of subsidy to these people. You know, Linda just mentioned, you know, in Texas, and by the way, that's Texas alone, $86 million. That's just in Texas at this particular time. But think about the stresses to the criminal justice system. Think about the stresses to the social service system, to the educational system, to the medical system, to everything in the United States. This is another in-your-face example of America last and illegal alien criminals and cartels first.
Well, and not only that, but there is basically a media blackout. The media is not allowed to go down to the border and see what's happening. And HHS, DHS, and FEMA are all not responding to media requests.
Right. When was the last time? Come on, let's get serious here, people. When was the last time our government prohibited the media from going to places where they have a lawful right to be and filming and doing news stories on this? You know, I was watching Fox News this morning with you, Linda, while we're having a morning cup of coffee, for God's sakes. And Fox News reporters who were not allowed access to the border had to do the news story from Tijuana, Mexico. They had to go into a foreign country to report on what's happening in the United States of America. I mean, that is sheer Marxist censorship. That is sheer neo-national socialist censorship of the press. And who's not getting angry about it? The press.
It's crazy. You know, let me give you another stat that's really interesting. In the Obama-Biden administration from 2009 to 2012, the grant ratio for people coming in to actually be granted asylum was 4.1%. In 2013 to 2016, under that same administration, the grant ratio was 6.8%. Under President Trump, the grant ratio was 12.8%. So he did more for allowing people into our country that they felt needed asylum than did the Obama administration. Yet, what their plan is not to have people go to court. It is to just bring them in and distribute them anywhere from Texas to California to all parts in the country, and many of them up to the Canadian border, so we can further infuriate Canada, who does not want that to happen.
And, you know, we personally think that Texas has, and I think our governor and our attorney general believe that Texas has been specifically targeted for this huge influx in illegal aliens so that they can turn Texas eventually into a blue state. And so this is, and you know what, our wonderful Governor Greg Abbott and our excellent Attorney General Ken Paxton, who have done everything possible and continue to do everything possible to protect Texans and American sovereignty. This is punishment. This is retribution for their actions and the actions of the Texas legislature with SB 4 against sanctuary cities. And this is just retribution against a red state and a red state independent government.
Absolutely. Let me give you some more facts and figures, Ron.
I like it when you do that.
Okay, so the smuggling fee schedule, according to the CBP, is for children and family. Now, this goes to the cartel members. Generally, look at the money these guys are bringing in. What do you think they're going to do with it? So the children and family fee is $4,000 to $5,000. A single adult is $8,000 to $9,000. A Mexican is $5,000 to $6,000. Now, just in the month of February, the smuggling revenues were for Central American children, $34.1 million. For Central American families, $80.7 million. For Central American single adults, $139.5 million. For Mexicans, $157.2 million. The February total was $411.5 million. The daily average, $14.6 million.
All right. Think about the new paradigm shift with these transnational cartels. I believe, Linda, and I don't think I'm too far off of this, they are starting, here's the paradigm shift. They are literally starting to make more money off of human trafficking than they are with their primary revenue source, which is drug trafficking. Okay, for the first time ever in the history of the United States, the cartels are beginning to make more money off of a secondary revenue source, which is human trafficking, than they are off of a drug source.
Yes. But when this flood stops, if it stops,
it will never stop.
Well, it will stop if Trump or somebody like him gets back in office.
Well, that's the only way it can happen, because it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen under Biden.
No.
But if and when this stops, this money is going to go right back into child trafficking and drugs.
And absolutely right. And I just want to spend the last couple of seconds here talking about drugs. When you open the borders, you not only open the borders to humans, but you open the borders to drugs, the things that are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans every single year. I think just the fentanyl deaths, the opioid deaths in the United States last year was 110,000 American lives. Think about that. Almost twice as many people are killed by fentanyl in the United States than were killed during the entire 15-year Vietnam War. Just let that settle in, and I'll make you our first cup of coffee.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Got your coffee?
Well, thank you so much.
Well, come on, man. What are we talking about here? 2 months without a press conference? Okay. What is going on with the quote
we're the most transparent administration ever, close quote, Biden-Harris administration.
Didn't we just get done talking about that the press is not even allowed to go down to the border and see anything?
I know. And you know what? Even the left is starting to get a bit perturbed and a bit impatient with Sleepy Joe not having any press conferences whatsoever. Okay, so he's got what is her name? Jen Psaki, the spokesperson for the Biden administration. She's the senior press secretary for Joe Biden, and I don't know how many times she has to circle back on the American people, but I she must be dizzy because this guy doesn't answer anything. He doesn't respond to anything. We're back. Actually, we're not back. We've never left the what do you call it when he was down in the basement?
Oh, the basement. Yeah.
He never left basement. The basement. He never left the basement strategy.
Yeah.
We're still there.
Well, okay. And obviously there's a reason for that is because he's not all there. So even though we're still there, he's not all there. And that's the reason they don't want him to speak, because he says things just like he said a few comments the other day. And what came out of his mouth was President Harris. Okay. Are you kidding me? You, Joe Biden, were elected president of the United States, or if you believe you were elected the president of the United States, but yet twice now you've called Kamala Harris the president.
Well, you know, there are so many problems here. Number one, the transparency issue to me is a serious issue.
It's a cognitive issue, Ron. Yeah, that's what it is.
And I want to talk about that. But I mean, you know, it's not always that Dr. Ron and Linda provide, you know, fair and balanced news. Okay, let's just say we don't like the guy. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, we don't like the guy, but it isn't because that we have a dislike for Joe Biden as a person. We have a dislike for Joe Biden as president of the United States. And I think it's well-founded. I think forensically, factually, our reason for the dislike of Joe Biden as our president is because he is only serving one side. Here is a guy that promised, I will be the president that unifies, not divides the country. But nothing that he said and none of his behavior reconcile or support that statement. That's why I don't like him.
And that's true. None of it does. And one of the reasons I don't like him, well, there's several reasons, but he has changed so much over his career from sort of a reasonable politician to a far, far left progressive in order to appease a group of people, whoever that group of people is. The other thing that truly, truly bothers me about Joe Biden is that, I'm sorry to say, but in my mind, he's a crook. He received money for his Biden Center from China and didn't report $22 million of it. He received money from so many places over his time in office, and so did family members, that I just do not think that he's an ethical person. So I cannot like him for that. Now, right now, I really dislike him for the policies that he is destroying and the policies that he is enacting and the way that his administration is trying to completely leave the Republicans out of everything, to the point of getting rid of the filibuster, of shoving bills through by having to use Kamala Harris to have that last vote.
Well, and executive orders.
He's ruling by executive order, but they also are trying to have it be in the Senate so that they can get things through without, you know, having to have the normal number of votes that the Constitution has, you know, demanded since the beginning of the Constitution.
You know, I was going to say that, you know, there is power in all politics. I don't care what side you're on, but the primary, as I see it, okay, this is just me. Okay, this is an opinion that I'm voicing. The primary responsibility of any president of the United States is to keep a country strong, to protect our sovereign interests as the primary nation in the free world, you know, the leading nation in the free world. And, you know, the president of the United States is often called the leader of the free world. I understand that there's a certain level of partisan politics. Okay, Republicans have it, Democrats have had it, but you are there to unify and protect the United States of America and our citizens. You are there to unify us, and you can only take partisan politics so far. And when it is 100% Democratic and far left, progressive, neo-national socialist, Marxist progressive politics, where you are literally destroying the underpinnings of the United States Republic and our democracy, I just can't respect you. That's compounded with the cognitive issues that you're talking about, Linda, because here's a guy, let's face it, this guy has been a politician his entire life, almost 48 years or almost 50 years, I think 48, almost 50 years. And you would think that if anybody had it down, you know, had the rhetoric down, had the language down, the thought process down, the politics down, it would be a guy like Joe Biden. And the reason that they are not allowing Joe to have press conferences is because he spouts off, he goes off into left field, and he takes them, his handlers, off message. That's what this is all about.
Well, and you've seen them completely shut down his talking to the press at all in a number of different situations. So I'm sure that they are trying to wait for a moment in time when he's very lucid that he can give a speech, as he did when he gave a speech before he was elected. He did well in his speech. But when people have these cognitive issues, Ron, they are off one day and they're better the next day. You know, it's not a consistent thing until it gets to be a consistent thing. I have noticed, everybody has noticed, that it is much worse since he became president. Now, I just want to say something as your wife, okay? As your wife, and you being somebody that I love, I would never let you run for an office or be in the public eye or take on a responsibility as big as the presidency or even a smaller responsibility than that if you were in the condition that Joe Biden is in. I think that Jill Biden has done her husband a great disservice. They have both done the United States of America a great disservice. They hid his cognitive problems for a long time, and they are self-evident. And I predict that Joe Biden will not stay in office past this year, and that Kamala Harris will become the president, which is a terribly scary thought, because that is a person who just has no clue of what's happening. Here's a woman who slept her way to the top and has no, just no knowledge of how this country runs other than her particular handlers that are, like, as you said, you know, before, socialists, Marxists, those types of people, and they want to take the country in that direction. This is why they are doing the things as fast as they are doing. They are shoveling these papers under Joe's nose and saying, sign here. And I don't have a feeling that he actually knows what he's signing or the repercussions for America. And nor do I think that the Bidens care as long as they can get their hands on money. And that is why I dislike the Bidens immensely.
Well, there's just been so many. I mean, it's not just one or two bad decisions. It's a flood. It's a consistent flood. I mean, the floodgates are open, and there's, you want to talk about cognitive issues, I like to talk about cognitive policies. In other words, policies that make sense, policies that move the America, the United States of America forward, and the people of the United States, the hardworking poor people of the United States that have just been, you know, rocked by the COVID pandemic. How can you do what you're doing right now? What is the impetus? What is the motive behind the push to completely destroy our sovereignty and our border security by allowing tens of thousands of illegal aliens to flood through? Tens of thousands of pounds of drugs, you know, of MS-13 gang members. For God's sakes, they found 22 Middle Easterns, mostly Syrians, that penetrated through the United States on the terrorist watch list. What are we doing? You know, where is the method to the madness? I just don't see it. And now they're going to push through after this, so-called COVID relief bill that we really didn't need, only 9% of it, of the $1 trillion. I mean, wrap your hands around $1 trillion, okay? $1,000 billion. That's what a trillion is, $1,000 billion, $10,000 million, of which only 9% goes to COVID relief at all. The rest is payback for, you know, getting the Biden people into office. You just can't do that. And you know what? I get that people hated President Trump, and that's why they voted for Biden. But my God, if you don't have buyer's remorse by now, as a true-blooded American, I don't care what your political persuasion is, then you need some serious therapy. Because this country is going down the tubes more rapidly than anybody would have ever anticipated it.
Well, and I think he's being absolutely manipulated because of his mental issues. So I just received a notification in my email as a business owner to be on the watch for new things that Biden is going to be doing to businesses. And they have scores of provisions impacting everything from how you manage your cafeteria plan to restructuring COBRA rules, employee leave, agency transitions, gender and pay parity, more forms of discrimination that we have to pay attention to, you know, lest we get sued, immigration, worker protections, COVID rules, you name it, the Biden administration is putting it all through. So these are more things that he is dumping on the heads of small businesses who have been through the most horrific year in the history of small businesses, as he wants to also raise the minimum wage to $15 and have the biggest tax hike in history.
And Linda, these are the dangers of big government and big government getting even bigger. When government gets bigger, it's never a good thing. And it's always the American public that suffers. Now, look, again, just use common sense, people. Use your common sense. The rich people are always going to be rich. Okay. Very, very seldom, because they're smart. That's how they got rich. And they had good business models or the good investments, and some people inherited money, but then they took that money and then expanded it because of good decisions. The poor people, that's hard to move up socioeconomically. The people that are the blue class, blue collar workers, that's more difficult. The people, you know, when the Biden administration says, well, the rich need to pay their fair share, I'm telling you what, the rich are going to pay their fair share and they're going to be insulated. The people that are ultimately harmed by all these taxes is the middle class and the poor people. Because let me just take one example. As soon as Biden got into office on day one, he canceled two major pipelines. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline and the one up in North Dakota, right, that goes out mm-hmm. to Illinois. I forget what that one's called. He canceled them both. He canceled the oil leases. And so what he did was he killed our oil industry overnight. He killed our oil industry. And so what he did is he took the country that Donald Trump and his administration had turned out for the first time to be for decades, completely energy independent, and now made us dependent again on Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, the people that are you know, not friends of the United States. And the gas prices jumped within a month. They jumped a dollar.
Which hurts everybody.
Thank you.
Every
exactly.
economic strike.
Exactly. And again, the people that are wealthy, that's not a big deal to them. You know, let's just say, you know, because we're formerly from California. Look at this really quick. I mean, you used to commute 100 miles a day back and forth. And that's not even to mention when you're out doing sales calls out in the San Fernando Valley or the Los Angeles Basin or something like that. You're probably some days you're spending 200 miles. You're traveling 200 miles. You are literally filling up your car every other day, $50 to fill up your car every other day. And you're someone that it's rough on, but you're a successful business person and you can afford it. You complain about it, but you can afford it. Think about being a menial worker. Think about being that. Think about being a blue collar worker. Think about paying rent on a house or you can't afford or paying a huge mortgage payment and you've got three or four kids. And think about that. Now put yourself in the pandemic and think about all the trials and tribulations of homeschooling or somebody has to stay home to watch your kids because you can't afford to pay for home care. Think about what that does. And that's to the lower end people, the blue collar workers and the poor.
Well, and let's add on top of that, the 57 million people that are independent contractors in this country, like the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers, so many people that are independent contractors that they want to classify as employees, that will mean that we lose all those independent contractors. The companies will not do that. A lot of independent contractors provide a very small service to companies, and they will have to be dismissed. So then you have lots more people out of work. And I just want to say one more thing. You know, one of these protections, which is very ironic since we're talking about immigration. One of the things that the Biden administration is going to be doing is making the penalties on employers, not the employee, much more difficult if that employee is not a legal U.S. citizen, right? And doesn't have a green card to work. So you want to penalize the employers, which I'm for, but yet you're bringing in hundreds of thousands of people. What do you expect is going to feed these people? So now you're saying, yeah, come on in. And we need the workers. And Joe Biden has said that they provide a service, but yet you are going to penalize the people for hiring them. Is this not like a catch-22 for everybody?
Well, you know, and I'll just leave this before we grab another cup of coffee. I'll leave our listeners with this. And that is, look, you know, Trump wanted a merit-based system where people that came into the United States had something on the table to offer. You know, they had education. They had a skill set, right? Maybe even a professional, hopefully a professional skill set. That's not what we're getting. Okay, we're getting the lowest of the low, the lowest educated, the lowest language skills, the lowest assimilation quotient, the lowest of the low, plus a certain criminal element, plus a certain infection element. That's what we're getting here. We're not getting anybody that's going to move the United States of America forward, that's going to move manufacturing forward, that's going to move our society forward. We're going to slowly become a third world nation because our country is going to be usurped by third worlders. And God help us if the Democrats pass H.R. 1, which is a totally different conversation. But let's grab that cup of coffee.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you for the coffee again.
You know, I want to change gears a little bit here for a second, and I want to continue with a conversation that you and I have from time to time. And I actually had the pleasure and the honor of stepping in for Malcolm Out Loud on Viewpoint Sunday, and had a wonderful conversation with a dear friend of mine who I was in law enforcement with for many, many years. And we both began our law enforcement career, during the Vietnam War period, which was actually right after the civil rights era. And I want to talk about the weaponization of race. And he, as a black man, and also a law enforcement officer at the command level, we just had a serious conversation about what is happening in the United States with this increased weaponization of race. And, you know, the newest incident that calls this to mind is the killing of the sex workers at the massage parlors in Atlanta, Georgia, very recently. So we had a white, clearly deranged man, a very angry person with a serious mental health history, who was a sex addict, who is a sex addict, and focused on going into massage parlors where he felt the pain of his sexual addiction was coming from. And he went into three different massage parlors and basically shot up the places, and he killed eight people. Six of those people that he killed were Asian women, and two of the people were white women, and one was a Hispanic man. He is arrested by the Atlanta Police Department. The homicide detectives go in and interview him. And, you know, I've been on many of these homicide suspect interviews. And basically, you want to find out what the motive is. You know, he's going to confess. He freely confessed, by the way. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He was surprisingly very upfront and provided a concrete motive for why he killed all of those people. And he actually expressed a regret that he didn't kill more. So, you know, this man is clearly deranged. And he said, "I killed these people because I was fixated on them being the source of my sexual addiction." And race never came into it.
Right.
He never said, "I killed these people because they were Asian." And forensically and factually, although the majority of the people that he killed were Asian women, that's not why he killed them. And again, two of the women he killed were white, and one was a Hispanic man.
Well, it just happened that those were the people that were working at that time when he came in. That's what happened.
Absolutely. And depending on the city, and you know, Linda, you and I both worked you know, vice and undercover prostitution in that environment. And, you know, back in the late 80s, I actually wrote a very, very popular book on prostitution that unfortunately, you know, is out of print. But it was, you know, what I talked about was the victimization. Prostitution is not a victimless crime. And if anything, this underscores that, how dangerous prostitution really is. Okay,
but this was not prostitution. But this was just massages.
But they in massage parlors, you do get a lot of prostitution. I mean, let's be serious about it. But here's my point. So the PIO, the public information officer for the Atlanta Police Department, is a captain. And by the way, I am the guy that set up the undercover street crimes unit, prostitution and decoy robbery unit for the Atlanta Police Department many years ago. So the PIO talks about the forensic facts of the case and that this man gave the detectives his motive, which was not race related at all. Zero. What did the press continue to push the PIO on? The racial motive. Asian hate, Asian hate, Asian hate. It was the weaponization of race. And thank God for him, the captain pushed back and said, we have zero evidence. He confessed, zero evidence that this was a hate-related crime. We would consider everything, but we discard where the evidence doesn't take us, which is the right thing to say. They tried to cancel this captain.
Well, and unfortunately, I mean, we could talk about the media and their disingenuousness all day, because that's exactly what happens. They don't speak the truth. They want to make it about something that is different. Now, a hate crime against Asians is when you see the picture of, in the case that I just saw, it was a Black man who just walked by an old Asian man and just punched him.
Oh, in San Francisco, yeah. And almost killed him.
Well, I think he did end up dying.
Oh, okay.
And you know, that's a hate crime. And there are many hate crimes. But guess what? It's not always as they want to make it, that it's a white person against everybody else. It seems like they only want to make a hate crime be a white person against a Black person, an Asian person, a Hispanic person. No, it goes all ways. It can be a Black person against anybody else. It can be an Asian person against anybody else. It's not just one thing. And that's what's frustrating about listening to it on the media, is that let's just say that a person of color murders a white person, then that's one thing. And they don't even mention the person's color. But if a white person murders a person of color, they not only mention the person's colors, but they mention hate. And I mean, they've gone so far off the deep end with this, Ron.
Well, you know, I'm going to take this to a higher level, because I study this all the time. We don't have enough tonight for me to talk about the real the research on hate crimes and all the statistics, because I think maybe we can do this on another show, because I think people would be extremely surprised of what the real facts are with respect to who commits the majority population demographics wise racially in the United States. I'll just say it's not white people. But I want to talk about what the agenda here is, and what we are starting to hear more frequently. And I know, and I'll share this with you. Have you heard the term, Linda, my truth? Have you heard that?
Oh, absolutely. My truth. Well, and you know how I feel about that term.
Okay.
My truth. There is not my truth and your truth.
There is the truth. And so what we saw with like Jesse Smollett, right? So he claims it's a hate crime. Remember him out of Chicago? He used to be a star on the show Empire. And the truth, the real forensic truth, was he was negotiating for a higher pay scale and he wanted to create some sympathy. So what he did was he faked a hate crime against white supremacists and President Trump. He actually hired a couple of his trainers to, you know, basically fake beating him up and putting a noose around his neck. This was a huge thing for many weeks in the national news and in the Chicago news. Chicago Police Department spent, thousands of man hours investigating this with over 30 detectives and conclusively found that it was BS. But when Jesse Smollett was making his statements to the press, he kept saying, well, my truth is this, my truth is that. Well, it wasn't the truth. It was just Jesse Smollett's truth. Next case, we have the African woman student from Smith College back in Massachusetts recently that put out on social media and on YouTube and through Facebook and everything that she was detained and her truth was eating while Black. I was detained and harassed by police and by the college janitor and another person because I was eating while Black. She videotaped it using her cell phone. What it really showed is that she wasn't eating while Black, all right? And it turned out from the witnesses that she was actually sleeping while Black, but in a dark room in an area that was posted that she couldn't be there. And because her hair was so closely cropped to the 65-year-old janitor at night with bad eyesight, he called it in as a Black male, and it ended up turning being a Black female. But the truth of the matter was, is that when she recorded the contact with the poor hapless police officer that was simply following up, because the policy at Smith College is that you don't confront suspicious people, you call campus police. And that's what he did. He just did what he was supposed to do. And the police officer had a very respectful conversation with her, trying to determine, why are you here? It's posted. You can't be here. We're going to have to ask you to go someplace else. And all of this was recorded. The lie, which she called her truth, was that he was harassing. This was, you know, racially biased contact. And the bottom line was, she basically brought a tremendous amount of pressure on the janitor, who was forced to retire, to a cleaning lady who was forced to leave employ. And the police officer, the campus police officer, they gave him a really hard time and got Smith College, without any investigation at all initially, to basically put the police department on notice, to put all the college, the entire college on notice. And it was all based on a lie where this woman weaponized race.
Well, there's so many instances. And, you know, it is the weaponization of race for sure, which started in the Obama administration. But now it's going beyond that. It's going to the LGBTQ community. It's going to religion. It's going to all kinds of different areas that, you know, I mean, we're living in a time where everything is considered biased. No matter what you do, you are considered to be biased in some way.
They have even politicized and weaponized racially the pandemic and COVID vaccinations.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean, that's how terrible it has been. So let me tell you what I believe.
Look what the Biden administration did in this fiasco stimulus bill that was just passed, in giving Black farmers, which are 2% of the farmers in the country, 120% repayment of their debt. The white farmers or Hispanic farmers or whatever color anybody
Asian
else
farmers.
Is, right, it, besides being Black, they're speechless. They are so insulted and angered because they provide food for this country just like the Black farmers do, and they were completely left out. To me, that was racist.
Well, it's 100% racism when, and you, maybe this might have gone over people's heads for a second, but you said they granted 120%
yes.
debt forgiveness. Let me tell you what that means. You can only have 100% debt forgiveness. When you give somebody 120% debt forgiveness, that last 20%, that's a reparation.
Right.
That's what you've given.
It's a check.
And by the way, it's racially based reparation, which on its face is discriminatory and unconstitutional. You have chosen a person who's already a protected class person. Okay. Minorities are protected class people. And what you have done is you have provided an unconstitutional payment to them simply because of the color of their skin. All right.
Yes.
And that's what that is. But let me tell you what I think this is all about. This whole weaponization of race. Again, I go back through our history and I go back to our pre-World War II history. And I look at National Socialism and I look at fascism and I look at Marxism, and especially National Socialism under Adolf Hitler and his party, because they were the German National Socialist Workers Party. That's what the acronym Nazi, N-A-Z-I, stands for in German. And also under Stalin and under Lenin before Stalin. And here is the issue. Racially, these people, the media and all of these people that are putting out this false narrative that America and Americans are all racist, and the division by class and wealth and structure and sexuality, and I mean, and you name it, socioeconomic strata, the separation, the politics of identity is all Marxist oriented. And the reason for it is they want to divide America and Americans so that they can come in from within and take over the United States of America. That is what this is really all about.
That is absolutely what it is about. And we're going to talk more about that one when we next talk. But I want to say that, you know, from what you're saying is how the media misreports things. And here's an example, Ron. MSNBC just put out a big spring break a video of all the kids on the beach and said how they're flaunting the COVID rules and how terrible it is. The picture that they put out, the video, was from 2019, before we even had the COVID. So, you know, I mean, talk about your false media. And the reason I bring that up is because there's so much false media that now, at the 5-year anniversary of America Out Loud, it's a great time for people to really get to know America Out Loud and the people that speak on America Out Loud and the people that write on America Out Loud, because it's a place where Americans and patriots hang out and they hear the truth and not the lies that you hear on the mainstream media. So AmericaOutLoud.com, check it out. There's gonna be massive changes coming. We're upping our game on America Out Loud, and it's soon to be seen and heard by everyone.